We're a good singing church, and we will be having some more music, surprise music, even during the sermon, and that's because our text today has to deal with singing. We've got two passages of Scripture, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. I'm just going to squish them together. So one is from Zephaniah 3, verse 17, and then we'll go to 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. Our topic for worship is love like God in a loveless world. We've been asking ourselves, how do we love in this crazy, confusing world? And I think these two verses say it just about better than anything. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we give you thanks, we give you praise for this your word, and ask that even in our surprise over these unusual words, these beautiful words, that you would inspire us and lead us forward, Lord, that you would lead us even out of this building throughout this week, that we might share this great love with the world around us. It's hard to do in this day and age, Lord. Be our inspiration and our power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I believe that there is a lot more love in this world than we can ever even begin to imagine. And the reason that I believe this is because I have seen it in my own life and I have seen it in the lives of others as well. Love just surprises us. Love can come out of nowhere and bowl us over. Let me tell you a story about a time that this happened. We had some friends who were young. They were just starting out, just married. They began their family. They had baby number one. Baby number one came along and was beautiful, adorable, wanted, adored, cherished, as you can imagine. And then, as you can also imagine, after a while, baby number two came along. And the parents asked us, they said, is it even possible to love this new one that's coming along? They were sincerely worried that they would have enough love in their hearts for baby number two. They said, Stan, we just love baby number one with our whole lives and hearts. Can we find love for this new one that is coming into our lives? And I assured them that they would be able to do this. Based on my own experience, that was the very same. When our Rachel was born, we loved her, cherished her. 3 years later, Caitlin came along, and I found myself wondering, this Rachel rocks my world, she's my everything, how can I love another one? But it happens, doesn't it? That love just comes along because we live in a world that is drenched in love. And Scripture is drenched in love as well. It's probably the most important word in the whole Bible. And we have been looking at it this month in this worship series, Love Like God. How do we love like God in this world? And here's some verses that tell us about this love in a very, very unusual way. Zephaniah 3. And 1 John say that God takes great delight in his people, a delight to the extent that causes him to break out in song as he looks down upon his people, as he hovers over them. He sings, he rejoices with singing over his people. And then in 1 John 3, verse 1 there, he lavishes his love upon us. What is this love like? I want to try and tease it out a little bit with you, and I hope it will be a fall faith lift for you. Do you remember our summer faith lift, our summer series? This is one of those verses, both all of these, that can just lift us right up, and I want you to be inspired. I want you to know how much God loves you, that it's not a philosophy or an idea or a program, as I've been saying, so much as it is the very reality of our world and the very reality of our lives. God loves us and rejoices over us with singing. So I want us to think about some songs that I believe God is singing over us, using some other scripture to show that to be the case, and then to tease out some songs. Colleen and I are going to sing for you, and we'll talk about some other songs as well. Three kinds of songs this morning. They're printed for you there in your bulletin under the bulletin title there. One is a battle song. Another one is a lullaby. And then the third one is a song of invitation from an abandoned parent. So those are going to be the three songs that we look at. First of all, a battle song. So as beautiful and as inspiring as Zephaniah 3 is, God is identified there in a very special way. You see the capital M, the capital W. What is God's name in that verse? Mighty warrior, right? So here's this mighty warrior, and he is singing over us. And I think one of the songs that he might sing, I believe that he is singing over us, is a battle song. Here is the mighty warrior singing over us a battle song. And I bet you've had battles in your lives, haven't you? I bet you've had storms in your lives. That's just a common denominator for all of us. And part of the reason that we gather here is to feel God's power and to learn how we can follow him. And one thing that I hope that you can learn this morning too is that maybe God wants to fight a lot of those battles for you. I think we just take too much upon ourselves. So what I want to humbly submit to you this morning is that part of the reason Scripture calls us children, as we see in 1 John 3 and in many, many places in Scripture, is because we just need to relax and to step back a little bit and let our Heavenly Father, let the mighty warrior take care of some of these battles for us. I'm not saying that you should just shirk your responsibilities or give up. There are things that we can do for sure. But maybe we take ourselves a little bit too seriously sometimes. And maybe we just need to rejoice in our identity as God's children and let him fight for us. Many of you have shared stories with me about how your parents fought for you. I visited you in your home and you've shared with me how your parents worked a hard job, long hours for you. Some of you have shared that your parents worked two jobs. And I know at least one of you has shared with me that your parents worked three jobs just to put stuff on the table. And what did you do while they were fighting these battles on your behalf? Did you not just run in the front yard barefoot? Did you just not run off the dock and jump into the lake sometimes? You're a child and all of this is going on behind the scenes and you don't even know it. You just trust that your parents are taking care of that. And God, as your parent, as your mighty warrior, I believe wants to fight some battles for you. And he will sing a battle song over you. We sing battle songs, Battle Hymn of the Republic and things like that, right? That's what we do as we go into battle. And God wants to sing those songs over you. In fact, I'm not making this up. If you look through Scripture, you'll find other verses where it says this. As the Israelites were fleeing from Pharaoh. Okay? They were leaving Egypt. They were crossing the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his chariots hot on their tail. And God said to his people, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Take a deep breath. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Let God sing a battle song over you. Some of your battles are overwhelming, I know. Colleen and I want to share a song with you now. It's one of our favorites. It's called The Warrior Is a Child, which takes these two themes, okay, that we are children, that we are fighting battles, but sometimes you just need to be a child and rest in what God is doing for you. So the words to this song are printed in your bulletin. I like to give you words sometimes so that you can take these home and digest them, but we're going to sing this for you.
I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me I'm hiding all the tears. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, 'cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Unafraid because his armor is the best, but even soldiers need a quiet place to rest. People say that I'm amazing, never face retreat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and look up for a smile, 'cause deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child.
Mighty warrior rejoices over you with singing. So let him sing a battle song this week. He wants to. He wants you just to be his child. It's a major theme in Scripture. And so I think maybe a song that he will sing over you this week too, a second song, is a lullaby. Okay? There is so much in Scripture that says that we are children. God, John here, as he writes his letter in 1 John, is just rejoicing over that. Talks about love being lavished upon us. There's an exclamation point or two thrown in there. That is what we are. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. So listen this week for a lullaby. I bet he's singing one over you. I know he is. Some of us are aural learners. We learn by listening, right? If you aren't and you're a visual learner, then just imagine maybe one of these pictures that you'll see of a dad scooping up his newborn in his arms and looking down at the child with just love and hope and pride. And imagine that as well. Some of you are kinesthetic learners, right? You learn by doing things, not by hearing, not by reading, but by doing things. See if you can pick up a baby sometime this week, if you've got a family member, and just listen for that lullaby that God is singing over you. On the back of your bulletin, I printed a few verses for you, the ones that I already went over for that first point where God says he will fight for us, but one of my favorite psalms is 131, where it says there,
I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. So see, there's that image right there in the Psalms of a weaned child leaning against its mother's breast. You might want to track down a lullaby that you can add to your own personal times of worship. We sang the words to 1 John 3:1 just a moment ago. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. It's an older translation of this verse, but it's 1 John 3:1 set to music. And I think that that could serve well as a lullaby for you. I want to pause just a little bit because that word, behold what manner of love, or see what great love, is a very interesting word in the ancient languages. John did not speak English. He spoke Greek. And the words there for what a great love this is literally translate, what country is this from? Or like what we would say this day and age, what planet are you from? This love is so great, it's so amazing. Where does this come from? Comes from the heart of your Father himself, and he is singing a lullaby over you. So rejoice in him and listen for that this week. A battle song, a lullaby. Both of these songs are songs I believe God is singing, but they kind of have to do with us. I want to pause now for our final point in the sermon and just think what it's like for God to be singing over us. He takes great delight in us, Zephaniah 3 says. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. He will rejoice over you with singing. What is it like to be God and to love us this much? What is it like to be filled with love for your people? I opened by talking about this young couple and how they wondered how they could find love for their second child coming along. What is it like for God? Can we look into his heart and understand what it is like to be a God who loves his people and rejoices over them with singing? I think we can, because again, Scripture has lots of images here. Perhaps the greatest one, and it's so amazing and wonderful, we'll devote a whole worship service to this. It's that story of the prodigal son, remember? Where Jesus told about a father who gives away his inheritance because his wayward son asks for it. And the son goes off to a foreign country and squanders all that money on wild living. Sounds very, very familiar, doesn't it? Some of you have children like that as well. And this son reaches a point where he says, you know, I'm just going to go home. And he goes home and God welcomes him back. What a beautiful image that is. But the sense that we get here is that God himself is an abandoned parent, or what we might call a jilted lover. Remember a sermon or two ago when we talked about Hosea and Gomer? Hosea and his wife Gomer, God asked this prophet Hosea to marry an adulterous woman as a kind of a lived out sermon among Israel's people that though you prostitute yourselves, though you give your hearts to other gods, I am still going to love you, like Hosea is loving his wife here. So this is what it's like, I think, sometimes for God to sing over us. He loves us, it's clear, it's plain, but there must be a sense in him that somehow he's been abandoned, somehow he has been jilted, and still he loves us. Still, he invites us to come back to him. On the back of your bulletin there is one of my favorite invitations from Isaiah 55, where God says to his people, come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money on what is not going to satisfy you? Why do you labor for what does not satisfy you? Listen to me. Listen and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Here's that jilted lover again. Here's that abandoned parent saying, come, I will love you, and I will give you what will truly nourish your souls. You know, one of the main things that we do in Baptist churches is to offer invitations and to invite people to make that step to come. And we have songs of invitation that portray this. And I want us to sing congregationally now one of my favorites. I think it's one that's well known to a lot of you, and it's called For Those Tears I Died, where there's this sense that Jesus, even as he goes to the cross, is saying, come to the water, stand by my side. You're thirsty, you won't be denied. For those tears I died. We'll be projecting the words and sing it. This is one that we've probably not sung in a few years, but I think we can do this. Let's try it.
Said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised.
Jesus says, come to the waters, stand by my side.
If you've never responded to an invitation like that and come to Christ and say, I want to come home, I want to be with Christ, please talk to me sometime and be happy to share with you how you can dedicate your life to Christ and follow him. Pass that invitation on to someone else this week. Invite someone that you know to come to God. Or if you can't do that or can't quite get there or the time isn't quite right to say those words to somebody, at least tell them how convinced you are that God loves them. I'm thinking it about some of my family members. Maybe you are too, something like this. Pastor, I have some family members that are pretty wayward. They're pretty out there. You think God would have them? God wants them? Some of you might be thinking, Pastor, I have some friends that have really abandoned God. I'm not so sure that they would ever even think of coming back. Maybe they won't. And while a lot of these passages that we've shared really are directed toward the people of God, I believe in my gut, and I see it in my good book, that this love extends to every man, woman, and child on this planet. I believe that. The invitation is open to everyone. Why? Because God created human beings in his image. It's in the very first chapter of the Bible. God says, let's make them in our image. That's good stuff, that everybody is made in God's image. And we also believe that Christ went to the cross for every man, woman, and child. And that's reason enough for me to believe that they are loved, that God rejoices over them with singing and wants to welcome them into his family. We've seen some great darkness this week, haven't we? We've seen some great darkness out of the events of Las Vegas. And we can wrestle with that for years. Indeed, humanity has been wrestling. Why do these things happen? We're created in the image of God. Why do we do things like this? Still, I say to you again, my gut tells me, and my Bible tells me that God's love is boundless. And if we are going to love like God in a loveless world, we have to share this love with others. We can't hold back. God does not sit on his throne with a checklist and say, yeah, you're a little bit outside the boundaries here. Yeah, that one's a little bit too far gone. No. Doesn't work that way. So God will be singing over you this week. Return the favor, okay? And make sure that you add some music to your own times of worship. You've got some words there in your bulletin. You've got some songs that we've sung that you know. Just about anything you can find on YouTube these days. So add that music component to your times of worship, because he delights over you. And you know what? I do too. I have loved anticipating this time, this moment, because this is so good. When I look out at you and think of how God delights over you and rejoices over you, that you are here and he is just pouring out love upon you, that makes this morning worthwhile for me. I hope you have a good week, delighting in the fact that God loves you and delights in you. Let's send ourselves out by singing a melody, singing it loud and boisterous, shall we? Number 337, In My Heart Rings a Melody. It's an old one, but a good one. A little bit rowdy for Baptists, but I think we can do this. Please stand and sing number 337, In My Heart There Rings a Melody of Love.